Now, as Republican efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act have broken down and the Trump White House remains tangled with the ongoing Russia investigation, President Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan have taken a similar approach, appeal to the base.
For Trump, that's meant supporting controversial policies on immigration, transgender officers in the military, and affirmative action.
For Paul Ryan, it means, among other things, a new call for a border wall between Mexico and the U.S.
I had the opportunity to travel down to Texas to go to the Rio Grande Valley and spend time with our Border Patrol. When you see what they're up against, it really gives you even greater respect for what they do. They clearly need more tools and more support to do their jobs effectively. That's why we're going to get this done this week.
Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science and the director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. Susan, great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So with the 28 midterms kind of creeping up and the Russia investigation lingering, what kind of shape is the GOP in right now?
Well, I think it's in a bit of a different shape than they thought they would be at this point. If we recall, after the election, the Republicans controlled the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. And I think that there was an expectation that 6 months in or so, that there would be significant policy victories to point to. And I think that, as you mentioned, with the midterms creeping up in about 15 months or so, there's some concern that perhaps they might be in more trouble than they would have thought.
On the other hand, the GOP has rock-solid control of Congress and the White House, and they've been able to appoint a Supreme Court justice. So are things, you know, really that bad for Republicans?
I would have to say no. I mean, you pointed to the Supreme Court justice. I would also point to the fact that they control many, two-thirds or so of the governors around the country and many of the state legislatures. And given the state of redistricting around the country, it's likely that those numbers are going to remain. And then I would also point to, while I alluded to the fact that there haven't been significant policy victories legislatively, there have been quite a few things that have been done administratively that I think that they can point to in terms of successes. And we can talk about those a bit if you'd like, but I'm thinking about things within the EPA and then specifically in the Department of Justice with Attorney General Sessions.
Right. Tell us more about that. What do you see there as being maybe victories?
Well, I would say, first of all, in regard to the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt, the secretary of that agency, there's been quite a bit of activity in terms of rolling back some of the administrative protections that have been put in place during the Obama administration. So we're seeing an erosion of some of the environmental protections that had been put in place. And then in the Department of Justice, we've seen, under Attorney General Sessions, a tightening and a reshaping, I would say, a reframing of some of the policies in regards to crime prevention, crime enforcement, certainly as it relates to border enforcement and deportations, but also more broadly in terms of issues related to law enforcement and the kinds of things that federal prosecutors are instructed to focus on. So I would say administratively, there's been quite a bit done in that regard.
Right. And in that vein, President Trump gave a talk in New York last week where he had this to say.
And when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand over. Like, don't hit their head and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
And Susan, what do you hear in that clip? I mean, it's been controversial. Some people have seen it as a promotion of unlawful use of police force. Is it intended for a particular audience?
Well, I would say first that it was several chiefs of police have come out and indicated that that was not acceptable behavior for law enforcement. So they said this is not what we do. It's also consistent, however, with the kinds of language that we saw at President Trump's rallies during the campaign. So it wasn't necessarily that surprising to me as someone who's watched his campaign rallies over the course of of a campaign and even subsequent rallies. But I think it clearly is plain to that idea of law and order that we can go back a full year ago to the convention when that was the theme of the convention and of his speech was returning America to this image of law and order. And apparently in his mind, that type of behavior by police is returning to law and order.
Talking with Susan Johnson right now, an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, talking about a recent return to re-energize the GOP base by President Trump and also by Paul Ryan. And Susan, we began by listening to a little bit of a video produced for Paul Ryan, where he goes to the border between the U.S. and Mexico. He tours it, and you heard the tone of that, and there's a pretty high production value on this. So he's got a pretty passionate call for the border wall happening there. What do you see in that from Paul Ryan?
Well, I mean, I think it's consistent with the message that has resonated quite strongly with a certain segment of the Republican Party, and that's securing our southern border. And so we know that build the wall was a significant theme throughout the 2016 campaign, and we know that in the budgets that are being negotiated or discussed, President Trump's budget and then what Congress is talking about has included significant funding for the border wall. So it's just, to me, it's consistent with what's been discussed over the course of the last year or so.
Isn't it controversial, though? Even among Republicans, there's critiques that it costs too much money and that there's division, even among Republicans along the border, about whether or not this is a good thing, whether or not they may agree with some aims of it and some aspects of it. It's also not without controversy.
Oh, without a doubt. You have controversy coming from several different angles. You have, as you alluded to, some of the fiscal hawks in the party who think that the idea of spending this kind of money on what many people believe would not be an effective tool at securing the border, they see that as being very wasteful in terms of government spending. You have others who look at the fact that we've seen a decrease in undocumented immigration coming over the border, so you can make the argument that perhaps the need for securing the border for that purpose has been minimized. And then I think you also have people in the party who just have a different approach to how we should handle immigration, both legal and illegal. So without a doubt, there's controversy there. But in terms of a certain core base within the Republican Party, it still plays very well. And if it didn't, you wouldn't have Paul Ryan making that video and you wouldn't have President Trump still talking about it.
Well, let's talk about that base, the base that elected Donald Trump, brought him to office. A lot of white voters is what we've heard, and some without college degrees. Is that base holding?
Well, in some of the most recent polling, what we've seen is that if we're thinking about, you're referencing sort of white voters without college degrees tends to be how that group is very, very broadly defined. In recent polling, what we've seen is that the number of people in that group who approve of Trump's job performance has fallen. And so in one particular Quinnipiac poll, at the end of June, his support amongst that group was about 40%, and now a month later it's down to about 33%. So, I mean, that's a precipitous drop, and amongst other groups, his approval ratings have gone down as well. And if you look across other presidencies at this point of time, President Trump's approval ratings are by far the lowest. And, I mean, Gerald Ford is comparable, but there's reasons for that. But others are just much higher at this point in their administration. So I think there's cause for the Republicans to be concerned.
So if some of these recent policy moves that we were just talking about, if they're designed to appeal to this GOP base that may be eroding, is there a danger for Republicans that the intended audience for this is slipping? It could be too narrow and not broad enough to bring more people into the tent.
Well, I think to a certain degree, and I don't know that the goal is to bring people into the tent as it is to protect, close the door in the tent, maybe is a better analogy to think about it that way. And going to people with issues that were successful in winning the election in 2016 and trying to reinvigorate that base with those sorts of issues. I mean, the party just took a big hit with their failure to repeal and replace or modify the Affordable Care Act. And so I think there's a natural inclination to want to retreat a bit. And what we're seeing from congressional leadership, I mean, people like Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and others, he's talking about moving on to tax reform. And you're seeing other leaders in the Senate talking about moving on in that direction. And we're seeing a bit of a different direction from the president. And then the video you alluded to with Paul Ryan suggests he's going in that direction. But Paul Ryan obviously is also interested in tax reform.
Susan Johnson stays with us now. She's an associate professor of political science and the director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater.
And you can join in now at 800-642-1234 if you're a Republican or typically vote Republican. Do you like the focus you're hearing lately from President Trump and Speaker Ryan in the weeks since the health care defeat? Is appealing to the base enough to help Republicans win in 2018? Should Republican policy try to be more attractive to a wider group of voters? Wherever you are on the political spectrum, what do you want to see next from Republican leadership in the White House and Congress? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll have more on this in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. With defeats in health care and the ongoing Russia investigation, President Trump and Paul Ryan have been vocal about supporting policies with big appeal to the Republican base, like the border wall, affirmative action, and transgender people in the military. Susan Johnson stays with us now. She's an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 in the aftermath of the Affordable Care Act vote without a change to the Affordable Care Act. Where should Republican leadership in the Senate, in the House, and in the White House go from here? What should the top priority be? Should it be another attempt at health care? Should it be tax reform? Should it be immigration and the border wall? Let us know your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And if you were a supporter of President Trump in the election, do you still like what you're seeing? More? Less? Are you changing your mind? I'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Matt joining us first in Milwaukee. Matt, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually more of a libertarian myself, but I just wanted to point out that the basis for a lot of the argument is based on the polls, and that the support for President Trump is slipping. But I wanted to make a note and remind folks that the polls leading up to the election, most of them were very, very, very much off and wrong, and a lot of the polls were found to have oversampled Democrats hugely. You know, so who knows what the mistakes are in these current polls, but they're just not to be trusted because they didn't turn out to be very accurate during the lead up to the election. And also that most of Trump supporters don't believe the Russian collusion thing because there has not been any evidence whatsoever for that.
Matt, thanks a lot for calling and for bringing that up. So Matt's saying, you know, we've seen that maybe charting your course by the polls isn't exactly a great thing to do anymore. And it could be there's greater evidence that this is what the Republican base wants to see. And also that the base is bigger and still on board with President Trump. What do you say to that?
I think that Matt has a very good point in the sense that a lot of us who study this and follow the polls were, as he suggested, you know, a bit surprised that the polls did not turn out, that the election did not turn out as the polls would have suggested. So in that case, I would agree with him. But I think that if we're looking at approval ratings over time and looking at shifts in approval ratings, we're still, if we're seeing change and we're looking at the same sort of demographic snapshot, there's a bit more consistency there. And then I would also say we could point to other things beyond just polls are easy to look at, but I think we can point to other things, attendance at town hall meetings, people contacting their member of Congress to express their concern about things. So I think that it's a fair point, though, to be concerned about polls sometimes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt, for that call. And we go next to David joining us in Toma. Hi, David.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What's on your mind?
my concern is the partisanship with everything that goes on in government today. The Democrats don't appear to be presenting any ideas or any plans, and the Republicans, while some of their ideas are not working out well, they can't get anything accomplished. So you have this near split in the Congress, and they're not accomplishing anything, and you don't hear anything from the Democratic side other than let's get this Russia investigation drummed up and get that stronger. And they don't really have any charges other than some possibilities, but it's utterly shut our government down for the last 6-7 months.
Thanks a lot, David. And Susan David talking about divided government, which has been kind of the law of the land for the last at least couple few terms there. And wondering what you think about David's thought that he sees the Democrats obstructing and getting in the way, and it's stopping anything from getting done, he says.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say in regard to much of what the Republicans can or can't do, they have majorities in, as we said, in both houses of Congress and the presidency. So, I mean, the health care law, not being able to make changes there was a Republican issue. But I would say to the broader point, the Democrats, I think, are trying to get a bit of a message out. It's been a criticism, and I agree with David, that the Democrats have been the party of no Trump, and haven't had very much of a message. Within the past few weeks, they tried to change that by coming out with some different policy ideas and different themes that they want to focus on over the course of the next 15 months or so, in hopes of actually having a message to put out there to voters. But I think that a lot of the media attention on the Russia stuff, I think much even to the Democrats' chagrin, is drowning out what they're trying to get out there.
On the other hand, a quick note, Susan, I mean, it seemed to work out with some success for Republicans to be the party of opposition and to have that be the prevailing message for the last 8 years before Trump took office.
Right. I mean, famously, Mitch McConnell in 2009 said that their goal in the Senate was to obstruct President Obama. So this is certainly not new. And I mean, this idea of obstructionism and inabilities to get things done, it's been over a dozen years since we've had regular order in terms of passing a budget. So this is by no means something that's new.
We're talking to Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater right now, talking about recent moves to appeal to the GOP base from President Trump and Speaker Ryan. And we'll go back to our callers now. We've got Richard joining us next, coming in from Milwaukee. Richard, hi.
Hi. I have a question about the drop in support for Republicans in the wake of the health care votes. Do the polls ask people why their support dropped? In my case, it went way down, not because the bills passed, but because they tried to push through bills that were so horrible to begin with.
Okay, Richard, thanks for that. Susan, your take.
I mean, I think you've got to do a deeper dive into some of the data to get at that, because that's a very good point. Sometimes polls just simply ask, are you in favor or in opposition of the Affordable Care Act? And you might have some people who think it doesn't go far enough. You might have some that think it went too far. So I haven't seen yet, and I'm assuming we will at some point, but I haven't seen a very careful look at how the public opinion in regard to the health care, in terms of the response to what happened over the course of the last 10 days, has really shaken out. But it's a good point that he makes.
And Susan, we started talking about this appeal to the base, about policy support for clamping down on immigration, restricting transgender people in the military, about keeping an eye out in the Justice Department for infractions when it comes to affirmative action. All of that, if it does energize the base, does it also run the risk of leaving some Republican House members in more competitive districts vulnerable?
I would think that it could. I mean, because some of these issues, if we just pick up one, and that's the idea of the president's wanting to ban transgender people from the military. If you look at the polls broadly, there's support for the rights of transgendered people, and we've come, you know, quite a ways over the course of the past decade or so in that regard. There's still ways to go, but we've come quite a ways, and there is the possibility in some of those swing districts where the voting base is a bit more moderate than some of the stronger Republican areas where it could become an issue. But I would argue that it has to be the most salient issue necessarily for someone to maybe swing them from one party to another.
And we leave it there. Susan, great to have you on.
Thank you.
That was Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater, joining us there to talk about a recent move following a healthcare defeat for Republicans, recent move to appeal to the GOP base, seeing that with President Trump and also Speaker Paul Ryan.
You can share your thoughts still on the Central Time Facebook page.